B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's 4 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show, brought to us by Landis Block. This 4 o'clock hour is your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. We'll get a training camp report in exactly 7 minutes with Tim McManus. Covers the Eagles, of course, and apparently some fights went on today.
Scrapping out there. I like scrapping.
It looks like that Dillard is a mild-mannered guy, but apparently he's a little scrap-worthy today.
Scrap-worthy, and then this is also the part of camp where some of the vets start to want to wind down, but he's a rook, and so there might be a little bit of, hey, rook, what you doing here? And it looks like I'm on your behind is what I'm doing.
All right, so we'll find out from McManus exactly what went on here. And there was a story in the paper today. So I guess Marcus Hayes did the story about that the Eagles should get Kaepernick. But I think that's pretty much a dead subject, isn't it?
Yeah, because apparently they haven't worked anybody out, and it looks like they're just going to go with
Cody Kessler.
Yeah, for now, and figure Carson can make it through 2 weeks, and then you get your guy back. Sudfeld.
All right.
I mean.
And in other news, the NCAA backed off the college degree requirement for agents. Many people were calling the Rich Paul rule.
Yeah.
They backed off it.
Yeah, now you just have to take the test. Like, you can go there, take the test, and you either pass or fail it.
You have to have an NBPA certification for a minimum of 3 consecutive years, maintain professional liability insurance, and complete the NCAA qualification exam, and pay the required fees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you know, I wanted to go further than the Rich Paul rule.
I know you did.
I believe that there should be only attorneys that should be agents.
Right.
I like the one part of his op-ed that he did for The Athletic, and he said, just because you have a 4-year degree doesn't mean that you can't be a con artist.
Exactly. That's why I require more than a college degree.
There's lawyers that are con artists, too, though.
Right. Just because you're a lawyer doesn't mean...
guided by rules of professional responsibility, where you can get disbarred. So there's something at stake there. If you're going to get a con artist and get caught, you're going to get disbarred.
Wait a minute.
So there's a protection there.
Yes and no. There's no protection. If you're an attorney and you tell a guy because you want him to go to the league, hey, man, I hear you're going to get picked 10th. And then that guy gets picked 31st. There's nothing to disbar you, but you did that just to get the guy into the league so you get some money. That's still dishonest, but it's not. It wouldn't get you disbarred. That's the fear with that particular rule. People giving bad advice to the student athlete about whether or not they should go professional.
Anything is a guess when it comes to that anyway. So
they get guarantees. That's why DiVincenzo went pro.
Anything is a guess where you're going to get picked.
No, DiVincenzo got a guarantee. That's why he went pro. No, they do. Certain teams give you a guarantee, and that's when you decide to stay in or out. If that guy lies to you about a guarantee, they can't disbar you for that. He can just say, hey.
We have different opinions on this. Why do you keep trying to push me on this?
We
have different opinions. I didn't like the college degree requirement either. I think they should go further.
Right.
Right? So I believe that because if you're an expert in a certain field, you're going to be able to represent somebody better than a non-expert. It's really simple. It's fundamental. It's like a teacher. You have to have that teaching degree. That's what I believe.
That's fine. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm trying to make sure that the regular person gets represented.
It has nothing to do with prejudice or this or that. It has to do with protecting somebody because you have more knowledge in a certain field than somebody who doesn't. Ed in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how about real estate agents having college degrees?
Real estate agents have to take tests, right?
They have to take a test. They have to pass a simple test, like to be a real estate agent.
Okay.
You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to be a brain surgeon. And they can do just as much damage as a bad lawyer. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit happy for fuck.
Listen, why do we even get it? To me, a lawyer is going to be more competent in contractual matters than a non-lawyer. It's simple. Stop trying to put wedges in this.
Mike, off the topic. I'm not a Gabe Kapler fan.
Okay.
He is what he is, okay?
Uh-huh.
And obviously there's not going to be a group text or group email to get out to all the citizens in Philadelphia that Gabe Kapler isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Tyrone actually made a very good point saying that is his future dependent upon our stars getting hot? I mean, what I'm saying is if Bryce Harper was hitting 300 right now, if Kingery was lighting it up, if Hoskins was lighting it up, would we be talking about Gabe Kapler right now?
No.
I think
but you're missing the cause and effect. Those guys might not be doing that because of Gabe Kapler. He has not created a climate where guys are thinking baseball or really enjoying playing baseball.
Well, do we know that for a fact?
No, but listen, the manager at the end of the day is going to get blamed with not creating the best climate. If guys are underachieving, yes, it is on them, but it is also on whether they feel like playing. And that's why Charlie Manuel was so great, because everybody felt like playing for Charlie.
I don't remember Charlie Manuel having the breaks in the lineup, having the guys coming up from AAA. I don't remember him having the Sean Rodriguez's, the Cesar Hernandez's. I don't remember him having to deal with those issues.
So you're not blaming Kapler at all, which is fine.
I'm not a fan, Mike. I'm not.
Well, you sound like you're a fan.
No.
You're not blaming him at all.
Like you, I'm not advocating. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What if it's not Gabe?
Listen, I used to say it's the players' fault. It's all the players' fault. But when I watch this team play without any spirit, when I watch them play disconnected to the game of baseball, that goes right to a manager's office.
I got you. And you know what, Mike? I believe in my heart. I truly want to be a Phillies fan right now. It's very, very hard. So I may be looking for those little shining lights. I may be looking for those little reasons why this team's not clicking right now.
Ed, listen, Ed. Do you believe or not that there needs to be a culture change here with this Philly team?
There needs to be a culture change. I do agree.
Well, then the manager's got to be fired. If there's going to be a culture change, they have to do it with a different manager, because the manager is the one in charge of the clubhouse. Jeff in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Yeah, if you want a culture change, get rid of Klentak, because this thing started to go downhill.
But that's not going
to
happen. So, like, forget about that. You can scream all you want. He just got a contract extension.
How many times have you seen a team give a five-year contract to a guy that's never played Major League Baseball? They give their manager an extension and then fire him. They get rid of everybody that had any sense of what Philadelphia baseball was about. And now this team is, the franchise is going down.
Most general managers have never played Major League Baseball.
No, and this guy's nothing but a number guy. What he managed baseball 1 year.
He played Division I baseball. It's not like he doesn't know baseball.
I mean, you played Penn State baseball. You could go manage and maybe be
I could. But see, you're going down the path where nothing's going to change. And that's only going to frustrate you more. Klentak and McPhail are here. That's not going to change, Jeff.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I've been a Philly fan since the 60s, and I've never seen that. We should bring Rulli Carpenter back. Some of those guys could at least make a couple deals that made sense. I don't understand why. This guy's got to have pictures of John Middleton or something, because I can't see how he got a 3-year contract extension. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
No, you can keep going down that path and getting frustrated, or you can say, let's see what we can change. And what they can change is the manager.
It just doesn't make any sense, Mike. They basically run this franchise into the ground. This guy's becoming the Chip Kelly of Philly baseball.
Well, they haven't run it into the ground. It's not like they're dead-ass last-place team capable of winning only 60 games. It's not run into the ground. You know, they do have a star player on this team, and they thought they had a good offensive team that they put together. And when you look around the team, they're not terrible except in the outfield and center field and left field. That's where they're terrible. They're passable in every other position. All right, let's talk some Eagle football with the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. His training camp report is brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp. Online at trainingcamp.com. Tim McManus, some feistiness that went on today.
Well, chippy out there already, Mike.
Yes.
And it kind of came out of nowhere, because, you know, it was a light, no pads practice, and it was a 10-10-10, which is usually like just this nondescript, shorter, lighter practice. So we weren't expecting a whole lot of fireworks. And then all of a sudden, the rookie tackle, Andre Dillard, pushes Jonathan Cyprian from behind on a block. Cyprian gets up with arms kind of flailing and has to be restrained. He had two defensive backs kind of pulling him off the field with his feet in the air. And then a few minutes after that, the rookie Dillard is going up against Derek Barnett. Barnett takes exception to something and just attacks Dillard. And the next thing you know, there was, just a big scrum, you know, probably of like 30 players that were trying to separate this thing and kind of calm it down. So it was a quite a scene at the Nova.
That's really interesting. Now, what is the head coach doing when this is all going on?
Well, so there was a couple of people going into action here. One thing that we saw was, number one, you had Barnett on a second sequence kind of go up there, and he started going after Dillard for a second time, a little extracurriculars, kind of pushing him back towards Carson Wentz's legs, which, of course, you don't want. So he got pulled on the very next rep. Vinnie Curry went in for him, and Barnett took a spot right next to Jason Peters, who's kind of serving as the bodyguard in this instance. And then afterwards, there was a long conversation between Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, and Dillard. Dillard was pretty clearly emotional. He was wiping his face, that probably went on for a good 5 minutes before they escorted Dillard off. So I think that both Jason Peters and the coaching staff, and even the general manager in this case, were kind of swooped in to deliver the appropriate messages.
You know, in the old days, coaches liked that because it showed their players were feisty and they're ready to get after it.
Yeah, and I think that every coach is different that way. Like Chip Kelly hated it. You know, anybody fighting, he would yank the guy off for the rest of the practice. And some of the players liked it. Like Malcolm Jenkins said, I think the Philly fans can respect a team that's got some fight in it. And I think that it kind of sparked up what would otherwise have been kind of a dull training camp practice. So some of the guys liked it. But, I mean, number one, you definitely don't want those emotions to get to a point where now you're putting your starting quarterback in jeopardy by going too hard on a snap. So those are probably some of the conversations that were being had.
All right. So, and what are you looking for in these days of training camp where they're not going to hit and just waiting to get all these preseason games under your belt? What do you look for in a team?
Well, one thing is I'm looking for health. Like, what's the state of the team heading in? We're seeing a number of guys that are not participating in practice. Rodney McLeod got a Veterans Day off, is what they called it. He had an accidental collision yesterday. Of course, he's coming back from the knee injury. They say it's not connected, but he wasn't on the field today. Jason Kelce wasn't on the field today because of that was supposed to be a Veterans Day off. Dallas Goedert is probably not going to appear in any more preseason games because of a calf injury. Lane Johnson has been at least temporarily shut down with his knee, but they say he should be ready for the start of the regular season. We haven't seen Fletcher Cox on the field. Bruce Hill is nursing an injury. Jalen Mills is nursing an injury. There's just a number of guys that at least lead a question now that we're getting close, right? I mean, we're starting to creep towards the regular season. All right, what kind of condition is this team going to be in? And then, of course, I've been looking at the quarterback, and one thing that I've noticed is that his deep ball seems to have improved from the last couple of years. Yeah, I think that, not Kessler, Carson.
Oh, Carson,
Yeah.
I thought you meant the preseason starter. Because that's what it's going to be. I'm going to lead it into my next question, but tell me about Carson.
Yeah. Well, I think that a couple things that I'm picking up on is that his deep ball seems to have improved. From what we see, DeSean Jackson helps, but I also think that his accuracy has improved. And the other thing is that we've seen him operating almost exclusively from the pocket, where you think of Wentz and you think of somebody that's extending plays, that's running on outside and making things happen. But I think he's really working on kind of the on time within the structure of the play sequences and getting better in that area. And once he hits the field, I think you'll see a healthy mix of both, but that really seems to be a point of emphasis during this training camp.
All right, let's talk about the quarterback now, and then I want to get back to the injured players. Have you gotten any feel on whether they will play him the rest of this preseason?
So what Brandon Graham said yesterday was he knows that Peterson wants to get the first team some work. He said, I don't know if it's going to be this week or next week, but he wants to get them a little bit of live action. Reading what I've seen at training camp, the first team has been getting a ton of reps. And I mean, like, disproportionate amount of first team reps from what a normal training camp looks like. It's gotten to a point where, like, the third stringers oftentimes, like, barely sniff the field. Like, you won't even see Thorson out there with the,
exception of a handful of snaps during team drills. That tells me, along with the other clues, that they're kind of going away from the idea of exposing their first team too much in the preseason and trying to get the bulk of their work done in training camp. So I still think that we will see Wentz and we will see the first team, but I think it's going to be a limited glimpse, with the idea of kind of getting them ready in this setting, which is a little bit more controlled, obviously, than the preseason games.
All right, so will that happen, you think, in the second game or the third game?
I would guess the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some injured players. Now, Barnett being back on the field is an interesting phenomenon. What about Mills and Darby and those guys as we head to week one in the NFL season?
So encouraging on the Barnett front, I agree with you. He's back to operating in some of these drills. And the same for Darby. When we saw them doing some install periods, which is a suggestion of what things might look like on opening day, Darby was out there at right cornerback instead of Rasul Douglas. That's a change. And so that would suggest to me that he's getting closer in his return. But Mills still seems like he's a ways off. He's doing some side work. He's doing a little bit of running on a separate field from everybody, but is not at full tilt yet. So I wouldn't expect him to be back.
All right.
At least for the start of the year.
Linebacker situation. Did not cover self in glory in game one. What are they seeing here with the linebackers?
Yeah, I think that's a definite work in progress and a definite question mark on this team. Kamagruje Hill is probably not going to be ready for the first handful of games. That means that you kind of dig into the depth, and there's questionable depth when it comes to the linebacker position. That means that you're going to be relying on guys like Nate Garrymore. And it also has to be noted, I rattled off those injuries. Nigel Bradham is the guy that's working his way back but hasn't been up to total full speed. He seems like he could be on track to get the start in the opener, but will he be at full force? And there's a number of guys on the defensive side of the ball that fit into that category. What are they going to look like? What's Fletcher Cox going to look like? What's Derek Barnett going to look like? Ronald Darby, Roddy McLeod, all these guys are coming off of injuries. And so, now you add somebody like Gruje Hill into the mix. When he comes back, what does he look like? So that really becomes the big question. But for right now, they're going with, guys like Zach Brown and Nate Gary, as part of a linebacking core. That definitely is an area of either question or concern, I would say, heading into the year.
All right. Should Gabe Kapler be fired? I just wanted to throw you off guard there. Yeah. Hey, what are you feeling about that, Tim? I mean, you're a Philadelphia guy.
Yeah. My feeling is that I disagree that he doesn't have the talent to work with. I think that he does. It was a different tune at the beginning of the year. He surely had the talent. And then the narrative has changed on that subject. When you have a number of guys that are underperforming, when you have guys that are being apparently told to hit a specific way and those ways aren't working, I mean, I think, it leads to the question of whether he's the right man for the job.
Oh, look at Timmy going out on a limb there. That football, see, you got that locker room climate thing, and you're indoctrinated into that from football.
That's right. You see how guys respond to the leaders, and who's overperforming on that team?
You're right. You're right about that. I'm in agreement with you. But whether it happens is, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel a little weird. Like, I'm not advocating for a guy to get fired, but I'm giving my honest assessment. I don't know. Does this team look like amazing under him? I mean, I don't know if there's anybody how many guys are meeting expectations?
That's why you're the best. You have a strong opinion on another sport.
So it
shows you're just not buried in football. You're paying attention to the world.
That's right. Multidimensional over here.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow. There he is, Tim McManus, sounding off on the Phils. Yeah, Philly guy. LaSalle College High School.
He was a LaSalle kid?
Yeah, LaSalle. Yeah. LaSalle, boys will be boys. LaSalle will be gentlemen.
That explains it.
Boys will be gentlemen. Something like that. It's some kind of slogan they have over
there. Yeah, they did.
I
That was too highbrow for you, Nat, right?
Yeah.
Carnell Dougherty girl wouldn't mess with a, a pedigree LaSalle boy.
Well, we never really crossed paths.
Not in hand.
Where they weren't coming to Alani.
You got it, didn't you?
Well, let me ask you a question. Did a Holy Ghost prep kid wander your way in the Northeast?
No, not really.
No?
Mm-mm. No, we all kind of
That's
stuck...
kind of close to your area, Holy Ghost prep.
Yeah, no, we all kind of stuck to our own people.
Your own kind?
Yeah. It would have been, you know, it would have been dramatic if a Doherty girl dated a LaSalle guy.
Yeah.
The Northeast schools mix, like Judge and Doherty and Huberts.
Oh, say Huberts.
Yeah.
Right.
Classic.
The Bambies.
Yeah, the Bambies. Yeah. They all mixed, but. All right.
Six. Well, my friend Lenny texted me about Pee Wee.
Oh, your boy Pee Wee.
I think Pee Wee was the same mosquito guy. I said, but my story about Pee Wee is he'd go around town trying to shoot birds with a BB gun.
Yeah.
But I think he was also the mosquito guy, if I'm not mistaken.
He probably was.
Probably was.
But my buddy Lenny texted me and he said Pee Wee was also a guy who would steal glue from metal shop in ninth grade, sniff it in between classes, and purposely be totally out of it so he could get sent home sick.
Man, Pee Wee was wild. I hope you didn't. Well, obviously you didn't.
No,
you didn't
I knew,
let him be a
I
bad
knew Pee Wee from the neighborhood.
Well, you knew him to be a bad influence.
Yeah.
He used to wander the neighborhood all the time. I mean, I was friends with everybody in the neighborhood. It was a small town. Everybody knew each other, but everybody had their foibles. 610-632-0975. What are the chances, man? The same guy is the mosquito guy, is the BB gun guy.
I wonder why he got brought up today too. Like it's random.
Well, mosquitoes. We're talking about mosquitoes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So this mosquito triggered a story about a mosquito. And he would go like this. When a mosquito would land here, and you go like this, and you'd watch the mosquito's belly get filled with blood.
It's crazy.
And the thing would burst.
Ew.
All right, we're back into this on 97.5 NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, Sean Updike, Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Oh, hold on one second. It's taking a while today. Okay. We have over 1,400 votes on this one so far. Will the city ever trust Gabe Kapler again? 8% say yes, 92% say no.
All righty. You know, a fan fest is coming up. Saturday, August 24th, Xfinity Live, 1 to 5. Tickets are free. You have to win a ticket to get in. Now, General Knowledge Wednesday is coming up this week. But also, there will be another online ticket raid tomorrow. And also, another major edition announcement. Now, if you've heard the promo for this, this apparently is being billed as bigger than Iverson. Like, what?
You can make that argument.
Really?
Yes.
What could possibly be bigger than Iverson?
Got to wait and see tomorrow.
Tomorrow, a major announcement at 3 p.m. Oh, my God. I have no idea, and you know what it is.
Yep.
All right. Well, you already know AI is going to be there. And AI appears courtesy of Time After Time Watches. Time After Time keeps Philly ticking. And also, Tobias Harris is going to be there, courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro by T-Mobile now. Take advantage of the best deal in wireless only at Metro. Okay, we're talking mostly Phils today. Eagles not at the point now where we're like, you know, there's really nothing to say about the Eagles. And it's just a long wait until the season starts. So, meanwhile, the Phillies are the topic. And yesterday, they lost to the Giants on national television. And there was a moment in the game where everybody looked at Kapler as an incompetent boob. Now, my philosophy is that his move wasn't that incompetent. You can make a case either way. But fans mistrust him so much now that anything he does that goes wrong, people want to pounce. And when that situation happens, you got to make a change. Because not only do I believe the fan base has pounced on him, but I believe in the clubhouse, they don't have any verve to play for the guy. And the front office has to take inventory of that. And at the very least, they have to make that move at the end of the year. I'm not saying now it's not going to do anything. But they have to come in with a new direction, a fresh coat of paint in that clubhouse, so to speak. Now, whether it happens, we'll see. This is a stubborn front office. He was their guy. He does everything they want him to do. It'll be tough for him. But the fan base is completely on one side now. There's no saving him with the fan base. Unless he's imagined next year and a miracle happens. And a miracle's not going to happen because their pitching staff's not good enough. And they can't get good enough. It's too big of a mountain to climb, their pitching staff. Really. I mean, think about it. What you need on that pitching staff to have a solid pitching staff where you can actually claim you're a contender.
Right, but Corey Seidman cited all those sites at the plate. If they hit more, and if rather than being 26th and 27th in that category, they were 8th or 9th or 5th or 6th, maybe they would have enough pitching if they were consistently scoring runs. Like when Bryce hit those two homers on Friday, if he had, that was his first and only multi-homer game of the season. Now, let's say he had 10 of those, like Bellinger and those guys. Maybe it would be good enough if the lineup hits more.
Let's look at next year's lineup. Let's say that they do trade Hernandez, which I think is a must, and finally play Kingery in his natural position. And he's the second baseman. Segura's under contract. He's got to be the shortstop. Reese Hoskins will not get traded because he's a power hitter. And they do bring up the rookie third baseman, Bohm, and they let him play every day. Realmuto's your catcher. McCutcheon's back in left. Harper's back in right. Who's in center?
It'd probably be Haseley.
Haseley is your starting center fielder.
Yeah, you put him in a platoon maybe, but yeah, he'll probably be your start.
Platoon with Roman Quinn?
It may be somebody a little better than that, but maybe Roman. He's out of options, so he's either on the team or gone.
He was out of options with me a couple years ago. I mean, his options ran out with me.
I don't have
an option anymore with Roman.
I got it, but yeah, so because I think the money that they're going to have to spend is going to be in the pitching. I don't think they'll be able to just go pay a guy.
So that's your lineup. Your main guy off the bench is a hitter, is Corey Dickerson. You have to have a utility infielder in there who won't be Brad Miller or Sean Rodriguez.
Please.
And you have to have three new starting pitchers.
Yep.
And a more fortified bullpen, although Robertson and Sir Anthony Dominguez could be back next year.
I think Sir Anthony will. I don't know about Robertson. Sir Anthony didn't need the Tommy John. But we don't know about Robertson. So Robertson may be that might just end up being Danny Tartabal all over.
There's a lot of players they have to add.
A lot.
Six players at least.
And that's part of the reason why I think you're not going to be able to pay for an outfielder, because I think you're going to have to spend a fortune on the pitching staff.
All right. Let's get to Brian in Newtown Square. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Brian? How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I know you just said there's not much to say about the Eagles, but I feel like the Phillies are bringing everybody down right now.
They are. I would love to talk Eagles here, but we're in that lull of the preseason where we'd be looking at the quarterback who might not even play. Now, when he plays, we got something to talk about, right?
Yeah.
But we don't really have it. Right now, what are we talking about as far as the Eagles? We're just waiting for this season that could be a plum to start.
That's true. Quick note, though, what there is to talk about is Sudfeld just went down. I think Kaepernick is actually a really talented player, but, I wouldn't want to bring him in just because I think it would draw too much attention from the media. And also, I think, how many games has Kessler started?
Let me ask you a question about the attention. First of all, Kessler stinks. All right, so we'll lay that right out there. Okay, Kaepernick's better player than Kessler.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would the media crush take away from the Eagles? And we're talking about a backup to the backup. So how much media crush could there possibly be? But a week and a half, right?
Not that much, but
how would it take away from the team if the media was interested in Kaepernick getting mad? The team is the team. Like, Kaepernick's not the starter, so the team is separate from the Kaepernick situation. So how would it bring the team down?
I think it would draw media to the Philadelphia Eagles that is not football related. And
who cares?
It's unnecessary.
Well, but who cares if it draws media if the team is the team and Kaepernick's not part of it?
That's true. So would you be with them for bringing on Kaepernick? I absolutely would.
Yes, I would. I have stated that before, yes. Because if Cody Kessler gets hurt, then what? Now, are more people going to be interested in bringing Kaepernick back? So if they would be then, why wouldn't they be now?
Well, I'm already interested in bringing him back.
Okay.
I think he's probably the most talented quarterback in free agency right now. And there's, you know, a reason aside from football that he's not on a football team.
All right. Well, I mean, you and I are on the same page. Like, I don't know how this media attention that everybody talks about, how would that bring down the team? In fact, it would help the team because the media would leave the team alone and the team would be allowed to play. If one guy is absorbing all the media attention, then the other guys don't have to worry about the media.
I guess my point is not that it would be negative more than it would just be unnecessary, you know?
Yeah, but I don't get that. I don't get, like, the necessariness of it. I mean, who cares? When you really think about it, how would that pull the team down? Media attention because Kaepernick's back in the league. How does that pull a team down?
I think I agree with you. I think it would lift them up in a way because while he's absorbing all the other guys would just go play.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about, can Carson do this? Can Carson do that? And all of a sudden, it's all talking about him.
If he's not a player who's going to play, how long would it really last?
He wouldn't even be dressed. He'd be third string.
Like the initial part of when Vic came back, there was some media attention right away, but he wasn't the starter. And it died. All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli should back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic. Mike Mussinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports betting and online gaming is live in New Jersey and now in Pennsylvania. Download the app. I use PlaySugarHouse.com. The long-anticipated start of football season is very close. Check out the new $500,000 Pennsylvania Pick'em Contest at PlaySugarHouse.com with a guaranteed prize pool of $500,000. During the entire regular season, pick every Sunday pro football game and a Monday night game. Straight up, you pick the winner, no spreads. A champion at the end of the year is guaranteed a minimum of $125,000. In addition, each weekly winner will get up to $2,500 every week. Entries are $150 each, and each player can enter up to 25 entries. Now through August 15th, get a discounted price of just $125. It takes just a few minutes to get up and running. You do it now, you receive a 100% match on your first deposit, up to $250 by using the code 250MATCH. That's two free entries, basically, into the contest. PlaySugarHouse.com is the premier live in-game betting option in New Jersey and now in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Sal Palantorio, Jim McManus, Adam Schefter, Ron Jaworski, all the Eagles insiders you care about on the best place to talk Eagles football. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hurry in during the Ram Summer Clearance Event to see why more people are switching to Ram than ever before. It's because the new Ram 1500 has more power with an available Hemi V8 and best-in-class V8 towing. It's no wonder why the Ram 1500 is the most awarded truck in America and the 2019 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. So no matter what you need more of this summer, make sure you hurry in for great deals during the Ram Summer Clearance Event. Right now, get 20% off MSRP on select 2019 Ram 1500 Classic models in dealer stock the longest. Based on IHS Market U.S. household methodology and FCA segmentation of conquest data from U.S. new vehicle registrations for CYU 2010 to 2016. Class based on light-duty pickups. Based on awards within the light-duty pickup segment from January 15, 2018 to January 1, 2019. On oldest 15% inventory of 2019 model year Ram 1500 Classic models as of 8/119 while dealer stock last. Offer not available in lease offers or with any other manufacturer incentive offers. See dealer for details. Take rates of delivery from dealer stock by 9/3/19. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of FCA U.S. LLC.
Hey, Mark Farzetta here. You've probably heard that mortgage rates have dropped. Well, it's true. And now is a great time to refinance your mortgage. And there's nobody better to work with than my friends at Philadelphia Mortgage Advisors. If you're not sure if refinancing makes sense, simply contact PMA and they'll be happy to advise you with no obligation. If you want to lower your rate, are considering home improvement projects, or want to consolidate your high interest debt into one simple and often lower monthly payment, contact them today. Best of all, PMA makes refinancing easy. Just go to PhillyAdvisors.com, answer a few questions, and one of their advisors will help you. These rates may not stay this low forever, so contact PMA today. Refinancing could be a real game changer. Get great service, great rates, and great local advice with Philadelphia Mortgage Advisors. Your mortgage, your way. Go to PhillyAdvisors.com. That's PhillyAdvisors.com. Locally licensed in PA, New Jersey, and Delaware. NMLS number 128570, an equal housing lender.
Guys, you're not alone. Half of all men have ED. Get your sex life back with Gainswave at Philadelphia Urology Associates. Gainswave is a safe 20-minute medical treatment that breaks up blockages and repairs blood vessels. There are no shots or pills ever with Gainswave, and it's available at Philadelphia Urology Associates. For more info and to save $150 on your Gainswave treatment, text the word CURE, C-U-R-E, to 797979. That's CURE to 797979.
Beyond Fast is the reliability of 4G LTE backup. Switch to Comcast Business and get 75 megabit internet for $59.95 per month for 2 years. Just add one voice mobility line. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond Fast.
Offer ends 9/2/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Let's face it. Tires attract nails and potholes and little pieces of glass. And hey, that's okay. Because if you catch a flat, AAA is there to help. So hit the road with confidence. We'll put on the spare and get you home safe. P.S. You got this. AAA, go ahead.
What should your college experience sound like? The closing bell. A busy hospital. Teams exploring new ideas. At Widener University, you'll get invaluable workplace experience through internships and co-ops. You'll learn alongside professors who are also industry insiders. You'll contribute to research that is shaping the future of the profession you're preparing to enter. And when you graduate, you won't be just starting your career. You'll be continuing the work you've been doing all along. Widener University. That's the inside track.
Many banks charge for checking accounts. At Citadel, we pay you. Citadel's Cashback Rewards checking account earns cash back for debit card purchases every month up to $120 per year. And we match every dollar you earn in your first year. That's up to $240 in your first year. Plus, Citadel doesn't charge any ATM fees. Stop by any branch or visit CitadelBanking.com/cashbackchecking to learn more about Citadel's Cashback Rewards checking. Citadel Bank. Banking with one focus, you. Federally insured by NCUA. Transaction requirements apply. Ask for full details.
Philly sports fans, the energy of the city. 97.5, the Fanatic.
.446, Mike Mesnelli Show. 97.5, the Fanatic. People are saying, well, you don't bring in Kaepernick because he hasn't played in 2 years. Well, all right. Well, then stick with Cody Kessler. Kaepernick, I would trust, he's kept himself in great physical condition, would not forget how to play a position at quarterback, and in my estimation, would be better than Cody Kessler. But that being said, I'm not even bringing him in to put him ahead of Cody Kessler. I'm just bringing him in as the third guy because Thorson's not ready. All right, Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew. Drew! What happened to Drew? Drew evaporated. Let's go Justin in Swedesboro. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm all right. I just got off work. I called earlier. I had all that noise and all that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, awesome. Now we got you clear.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to, basically rant on the Phils, but the one thing with the A-Rod thing, it was... I don't think he was talking about necessarily having Pivetta come in to face Pilar or whatever the guy's name is there. It was, like you had said, I heard earlier, it was the 3-1 count. Once it went to a 3-1 count and the base was open, it was ridiculous that they pitched to him. I mean, the next pitch he threw was literally right down the middle, 3-1. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Like, I think anyone knows at that point to get to Crawford, you might as well just put him on and then go after Crawford. But
Yeah, but if you go after Crawford, you're gonna have to make another pitching change. So you don't have another left-hander. So if you're going to go after Crawford, you're going Pivetta to go after Crawford. The reason why he brought Pivetta in is to get the right-hander out, not to walk him.
But I know, but because he couldn't execute. I mean, at that point, I think, and like you said, aren't the splits with Crawford? He's better against lefties than he is righties.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
You had two choices. Either you leave Alvarez in the game and walk Pilar to pitch to Crawford.
Yeah.
Or you bring Pivetta in to get Pilar out.
Yeah.
And that's why he brought him in to get him out.
Yeah. I mean,
at 3-1, you're still trying to get him out.
Yeah, I guess my confidence, as well as probably everyone else's, is shaken. Once I seen him go 2-1, mm-hmm. I knew it was done. I mean, I knew, you know, and I don't know if you recall, but that at bat, he threw a 1-1 curveball that was like way out of the zone. I mean, it was just a terrible pitch. I don't even know why you would throw that pitch in that count, in that situation. Like, his bread and butter is his fastball. You're not up in the count, so...
Yeah, so beyond the analytics part of it, and I think this is what you're alluding to have a feel for it, that you would trust Alvarez more than you would trust Pivetta.
I can't argue
with that.
Yeah, I mean, but then the other things are on the offensive side of things, like the whole Harper thing. I understand it worked one game, but even after the three games of the series, the one game we won, we had 9 runs with Harper mm-hmm. leading off. He hit 2 home runs, whatever. The other two games, we had 4 hits total.
Yeah.
And then seeing Segura in the 4 hole and just...
Yeah.
I'm like, lost, dude. I don't understand what he's doing.
You see, you're making lineup changes just that you're trying to spark something. He's not the first manager who's done that. They play lifeless baseball. They win a game and you think, okay, they finally got it. And then they just resort to the same mundane way of playing baseball. And that's just a product to me of a manager. So yesterday, if you do what A-Rod says, you walk him. I guess it would have been, then you got Pivetta pitching to Crawford, and Pivetta is, and Crawford is a better hitter against left-handed pitching, ironically, than he is against right-handed pitching. So you would have covered your butt anyway. So if you're going to bring Pivetta in, then you can walk Pilar and still pitch to Crawford with confidence.
I mean,
that's why I guess with A-Rod, but A-Rod doesn't have those numbers in front of him. A-Rod is just going by feel. Once you get to 3-1, you walk him. Well, why? When you get the guy out of 3-1, you can't just give up an at-bat because it's 3-1. It's the mindset before the at-bat. You can put him on before he even hits, if that's what you want to do. And if you want to put him on, you had Alvarez still in the game. Paul in Doylestown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. This is called keeping it real. The Phillies are not going to make the playoffs. I don't care what anybody says. And where I'm at is, who's going to trust, if you really want to build a winner as a team, who's going to trust Klentak to pick the next manager of this team? And I think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think if Kapler's back next year, the fans won't be. So who's going to trust Klentak to pick the next manager of this team?
Well, it really doesn't matter whether you trust him or not. What matters is
why not? Why doesn't?
Because he's going to pick the manager. It's nothing you can do about it.
Why does he have to be here?
Because they just signed him to an extension.
Who cares?
Well, they're not going to fire him now. They signed both of those guys to a 3.
Hey, Mike,
you're looking at the impossible.
John Middleton's got the money to buy out.
Paul, listen, you know he's not going to do it. You know, John Middleton is not going to fire these guys.
Does he want fannies in the seat next
year? You know people are still going to come to Phillies games next year.
Not in the numbers they were in this year, and not in the numbers that they could be.
Yeah, they are, because they're going to make all these alterations, and they're going to convince fans that they're a better team.
The fans have lost confidence.
No, the fans are not going to not show up.
You have lost confidence.
I have, but I'm not a paying customer. The paying customers, they're going to be convinced that next year. But Paul, listen.
It hurts the paying customer more than it
But the paying customer isn't going to stop going away from a baseball game unless they're terrible. The Phillies are going to convince people that they've added guys to be a better team. They're not going to stop coming to baseball games.
You know, it was like a couple of days after, what's his name? Andy McPhail came out. And he said he wouldn't dignify answering the question about the performance of the general manager or the manager.
Yeah.
It was a couple of days after that. I called the Phillies and I asked for John Milton's office and I left a voicemail message for him. And I told him to get ahead of the curve and to start looking for a new president, new GM, and new
He was so moved by that
manager.
He gave an extension.
I am right then and right now.
Yeah, but he was so moved by your call that he did the opposite. So that's my point. He's not going to fire guys that he just extended for 3 years. And your question about trusting Clint Dempsey to pick a manager, it's a legitimate question. But again, it's all you got because Klentak is going to pick a new manager. And you can't con yourself into thinking that it's not going to be Klentak. Klentak and McPhail are going to be here. That's cemented. Kapler may not be. That might be the best you get. But next year, if they come back with Kapler, fans aren't going to stay away because they're going to say, look at this pitcher we just signed. We have free agent. We got a free agent pitcher. We made a trade for another pitcher. And McCutcheon's back. And Harper's going to have a better year. They're not going to stop coming. They're going to buy tickets. 5 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Misnelli show right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.